they're talking about the dogs para. As a para fan, I love how it gets brought up every year. Like it really makes my day. I remember talking to my brother. He said in the radio commentary, because for whatever reason he wasn't in front of a TV, they'd said it's gone over, and he said he threw the radio, and because he thought they'd lost. But then he goes to pick up the radio, oh, I better find out what's going on, and they're still playing, and he couldn't work out why.
All Blacks got pumped.
Unbelievable. Your nephew mustn't have been playing if they got
beat. No, not the squad.
It's not funny. Like, I can't remember what happened last week, but I can remember the name of an American American 5,000 meter runner from 1984.
84, Los Angeles.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Right, week in review. We are back. Just for those listening and watching, we will endeavour to get these done on the week that we record them, but we're a bit behind at the moment, so some of today's will be dated by the time you're listening to this, but these what we're talking about will hold up to time, because it's not necessarily about the scores, but about the incidents. And speaking of incidents, we're going to start with when we're recording this. This is 2 days ago. 2 days ago, that Sunday NRL semi-final, Brisbane and Canberra. Like, they debated whether it's the greatest finals game of all time. Mate, I have to be, wouldn't it? It's unbelievable.
I can't think of one that's gone that far, especially a semi.
And just the craziness of it. Like, there was so much happening. I remember we were texting back and forth. I had a few other chats on the go because everyone was watching it. And it was like the headbutt, which, I've got to be honest, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, he's got to get set off for that. Like, you can't be headbutting. And that's the rule, apparently, I've heard since. But then he stays on, and then the other bloke gets sent off. Gets sin-binned for getting in his face, which anyone's agreed with that. No one said that was right. But then Reece Walsh comes back and kicks an enormous 40-20, sets up tries, scores tries, kicks goals from the sideline. It was unbelievable. But my favourite part was the post-game interview when he's like, you know, he's just come off the field, he's probably high as anything, and they've asked him about the incident, and he said that Hudson Young had called him a weak gutted dog as a bit of a tribute to Ricky Stewart's comment last year. I thought that was hilarious, and I thought it was just real, like, the bloke's a character, and I hope he doesn't get silenced, because I look at what's happened to Latrell. You know, the hate that he's received for being a character, and he's almost, well, you know, contemplating a whole lot of different things. Wouldn't be surprised if he gave the game away. So I hope that doesn't happen for Reece, because I think he's so good, such good value. Yeah,
there was a lot going through my head when I was watching that. Like, when they were down, and I think they were down two men as well, and then they just I was thinking, pull this one out. It's got to be one of the greats, and I think he's missed the goal to make it 8 points.
Yeah.
And then they've gone down almost immediately and scored again, and he's converted. He learnt from his kick before. I think the first one hit the post and went out, and then the next one sailed through. And I was thinking, oh, I'd love to be at a fly on the wall if Canberra lose this and Sticky's in there, just he would have been apoplectic, I reckon.
Well, that was the other thing. They'd won it twice. Like, they won, celebrated, then it goes to the bunker to review, and both of them, to me, were correct decisions. But could you imagine that that emotional roller coaster? I can't imagine what it would have been like being a fan.
Yeah.
Go through, whether your team's winning or losing, mate. Like Kate said to me while watching her, she goes, I think I'd be vomiting at this point. Like, it was just it was unbelievable.
Yeah, plenty of angry Raiders fans walking out of that one. But, like, just the players, you just got to give a thought to them. Because I thought, You've been there in other sports, like not necessarily league, but you've played in extra time games, and then when you haven't won, it's just that you look at your watch and you've been playing for 100 plus minutes, and you've got nothing out of it, and that's going
It's
to be
such
hard
a
for them to get up again too.
absolutely, and it's such a brutal sport. Like
Oh yeah.
five, like the nearly 15 minutes extra, and you could see they were
Would they
starting to
train
really
during the week?
tire.
Would you train them during the week, or would they just have to
It wouldn't
get
have
rid of
been doing
bruises or
much. They'd be
something?
just been doing recovery for a few days, and then,
Yeah.
I don't know how much you have time, but I think these days they try and sort of taper it so that they almost give them a second pre-season. Like sort of after that origin time, which is why some of those teams sort of dip. They
Yeah.
sort of flog them again then, so that they can
Make him
cruise into the
last.
back end. But
Yeah.
I tell you what, the Panthers all of a sudden they've got everyone fit this weekend, and the Dogs are wounded. And if they win this week, Penrith, which will be just about a full house at the Olympic Stadium, then mate, why? There's no reason like. Why they can't then go all the way. Unbelievable. What a story that'll be.
Yeah, and I was looking back at the Dogs game against them when they played their youngsters, and I was thinking both ways. You want to beat them, and then you can at least say you've beaten the Panthers, and then maybe take that in the next game. It's still a win, and it's even though it's not the full strength lineup, you can get over them. But I don't know that everyone on board, that is a tough ask, a
It
real tough
is,
ask.
but I also saw things that I really liked, and I saw the teams have been named. I mean, people are going to be listening to this after the game's been won and done, but I really liked when Sexton came on at half back and it allowed Galvin just to free up, and suddenly the whole game looked different. So that's who they've picked this weekend, so who
Yeah.
knows, it'll be interesting.
Well, if it's after the game, then I'll just say I pick the, and then the edit there, you'll stick Bulldogs or Panthers in there. And
We won't be doing
it
that.
looks like
We know who
Panthers.
you're going. You're a doggie from way back, so you'll be going for the
Yeah.
Dogs. I am a Para fan, so I'll be going for anyone who's playing against the Dogs,
Anyone else,
cheering
yeah.
them. Speaking of, like, we're talking about doing some reminiscing. The field goal, that was another thing, Reece Walsh, the field goal that hit the crossbar, and some of those great moments over the course of finals history of people hitting the crossbar.
Yeah, but the Dogs deals, the 1998 Major Semi, I think it was, and the Eels were home and hosed, and then I saw this a bit in the Canberra Brisbane game. There was a few brain explosions. You've been hard at it for 80 odd minutes. You're not getting a lot of oxygen to the brain. Players tend to do some silly things. So, to be fair to that game, I think they held it together well. But I just remember Paul Carriage kicking the ball back and Polly kicking what would have been, I think, a 45-meter field goal, and it just dipped under the bar. And the Dogs had all the momentum, and they came home in extra time, which I think Brisbane had anyway. And I think I said it to you in the game, it was a bit of a double-edged sword, those sin bins, because Reece Walsh looked pretty fresh. And his pace is unbelievable.
When he scored himself, he broke free and the fullback didn't get near him. It was unbelievable.
And the field goal was just like some screenwriter was typing it out at the time.
Crazy. You're talking about the Dogs, Para. As a Para fan, I love how it gets brought up every year. Like it really makes my day. But I remember talking to my brother. He said in the radio commentary, because for whatever reason he wasn't in front of a TV, they'd said it's gone over, and he said he threw the radio, and because he thought they'd lost. But then
Yeah.
he goes to pick up the radio and says, oh, I better find out what's going on, and they're still playing, and he couldn't work out why. But the same thing happened. So our mate Maxie, who's in the UK, he did the same thing. They said the game was over, so he turned it off, and we're talking about it still. And he's like, "Hang on, what's going on?" I said, "Mate, go back and watch the extra time." Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, because there's the Benny Elias, the famous hit in the woodwork, which has cost him the 89 grand final. There was the Newcastle one, Matty John's hit, but then they got the ball back from that, and maybe they even scored on that next set.
Yeah. Did Thurston hit it one time? I can't remember. In the GF, or did he just slot it from the sideline?
Kick from the sideline. It looked like it was going in the whole way, and it hit the side post and then just went away. But then that's the Benny Hunt moment where he knocks it on from the kickoff and Thurston gets the field goal. Yeah, mate, it's the theatre and drama in that game was unbelievable. It'd be hard to top that in the next few weeks.
No.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wallaby watch. They got beat, but the crowd out there at Allianz was unbelievable. And I didn't watch the first half because I was out, but I watched the second half, and they played some good rugby. I noticed Sean Maloney did a post on LinkedIn. He was saying that what was great to see is that there were like lots of young kids out there with Wallabies gold on, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe rugby is back.
Yeah, and they lost, but 4-1. Like they planned in the right way.
Yeah.
They just got to get their discipline right, because that's what the Argies are good at. Big boys, good scrummages. Yeah. Boys. And. Yeah, they're big lads. And they'll give anyone a run at the moment, I reckon, the Argies. And it's a good competition at the moment, because the All Blacks got pumped.
Unbelievable. Your nephew mustn't have been playing if they got
beat. No, not the squad. Would have made that 33-point difference.
Yeah, that's, again, staggering.
In New Zealand as well.
Does that give us hope? The Wallabies hope this week, or does that just mean that they'll be the bounce back factor, and we'll end up getting 40 putting on us?
Well, I'd like to see the Wallabies just start well. That'd be interesting to see, or whether that'll throw them completely off their game.
It'd be good to win over there and then come back here with actually the Bledisloe on the line, instead of what usually happens with a two test series where it's already done. So that will get the public right back on board. We have to talk about the World Athletics Championship. I'm not a massive athletics fan, but I saw something in the last couple of days which was unbelievable. The New Zealand steeplechaser, he's taken a tumble. He's got trampled. There's a classic still frame of the guy's spikes just missing his head, but the back of the shoe actually on his face. He's literally got trampled.
Yeah.
But he rolls, gets up, and finishes the race high enough in the... He might have finished third. Like, he stormed home to get through the next round. And then this morning, so again, this is Tuesday the 16th when we're recording this, he came from the clouds to win the gold. It was unbelievable. They're the times where we allow New Zealand to be part of Australia.
Yeah, the Anzacs.
Anzacs.
The Anzac spirit. Do you think it was panic, like, in that... You said he came storming home. I didn't see the semi-final. But do you think it was just pure panic that he's fallen, I've got to get up and do something, and there's just adrenaline would have just been going?
I think it was composure, because the guy who tripped on him went down and didn't get back up.
Oh, wow, Zola Bud. Do you remember old Zola?
Yeah. Barefoot. And then, yeah, wasn't she? She knocked over the...
Mary Decker?
Yes. Isn't it funny? Like, I can't remember what happened last week, but I can remember the name of an American American 5,000 meter runner from 1984.
84, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I can remember a lot about that one.
Well, because that was primary school, back before our brain had
been invented. Yeah, I think it was the first really well televised. Like, they had all the events on all the time.
Yeah, because the 80 got, there was the boycott, so it was very limited footage, but 84 was the first one. And we used to watch it at primary school, right? They'd stop the whole school, and good times. Now, we've got a few minutes left, so let's dive into a bit of EPL. So good that Big Ange is back. He's managing Forest, and I think it's the perfect club for him to go to, given what we know of Brian Clough, who was that the last person to bring him European success, and also a larger than life character. You still hear on some of those English football podcasts guys telling stories about Brian Clough moments, and they are always very funny. I reckon that's just a perfect fit. Like for Ange, and it would be really interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, you got to tune in and hear some of Mark Crossley, the goalkeeper's stories of Cluffy, because I think he signed him, and they're pretty hilarious. Ange, he's just got to get rolling as quickly as possible and get the players on board. So he lost 3-0 on the weekend.
They weren't awful.
No, but you didn't give him it. You can give them an excuse because they're getting used to someone new.
As we said, he arrived on Thursday. We had one session, a light session on the Friday, then we're playing Saturday.
Yeah. So they would have been pretty much playing their old style and with a mix of what he wants. I don't think he would have changed it too drastically. But, you know, while we're on the subject of EPL, how about the Mighty Reds sneaking another last 10-minute goal.
They're like United of the late 90s, Fergie time, scoring at the end of games. Jammy bastards. But that's championship teams, right? Just finding a way.
Yeah, goes back to what you used to say. It's like you make your own luck, and it goes with you when you're winning. You don't want to make a habit of it. You don't want to like press your luck. But Once they start to click, they'll be a pretty phenomenal team. But you want to click. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. While we're on the subject of Premier League, I was just thinking about you just had a brief mention of things we did in the past. Cricket season has already started here locally, and they've already started the Ashes stories in the paper and online. But it's also Bathurst season that for us non V8 fans become.
You just tune in.
We tune in. I've got a cracking episode coming up with his name's David Whitehead. He was a personal mechanic to Brockie for a 10-year period there, including the infamous vaporizer incident. Like it was a fascinating chat, so I'm looking forward to sharing that one. I've saved it deliberately for Bathurst Week, but that was good too to reminisce because, like, again, part of our childhood around that same time as we talked about the Olympics in '84. That was prime Brockie time where he was winning Bathurst for fun.
Going back and watching the old footage too. It's such a dangerous course, and there's just people sitting in their deck chairs about 5 yards from the track, and not a worry in the world. And then, like, a tire will bounce off, or a kangaroo will go across the course.
I know. Yeah. That blows internationals' minds when they see that shit. Like, the kangaroo just hops across the... Crazy. Yeah, it is mental. I mean, have you driven it?
Yeah, we drove it on a school trip on a bus, and it was horrific.
Yeah.
You're too high in a bus to do it, like for a start. Because some of those corners, the camber of the road's just unbelievable.
And it's narrow. You don't know how they listen do it. Listen to you, V8 expert.
Yeah.
I love it. It's ridiculous. And it's narrow. So that cutting, you hit up there, and you just don't think, like, they're going through there at like 80. I'm sure they're still doing 80 in that left-hander out of the cutting. It's like, it's crazy.
Three tyres on the road or what? Two tyres on the road?
Oh, down the S's and the dipper, they're getting down the S's, tires, yeah. Maybe even less. Yeah, crazy. So, yeah, we'll all be V8 experts for a week and tune in for that. But I think, it'll be good. Andrew's back because that'll give us a bit of mileage. But again, for the listeners, any thoughts or any feedback? Any ideas, particularly around some of the content we've already shared, but also specifically for what's coming up, the Aussie summer,
the Ashes,
finals, the Ashes, the old Warney videos are starting to pop into my feed, and I've been getting distracted by just watching him.
Bit of cricket porn.
Oh, mate, fantastic.
But you forget how good summers were when you had. had Warnie there and McGrath, you know, had a top six that were just anyone could score a double ton on their day. Like everyone averaged over 50.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I've got a good Warnie story for next time, which might involve you and fishing, so we'll come back to that next week.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
All right. I think we'll wrap it up there. Always a pleasure, mate.
Yeah, you too.
Next week.
See ya.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.